This is the night of their vision and the darkness of their soothsaying. But the light must come against the prophets, and the day must mourn over them. That's Micah chapter 3, verse 6. Our daily scripture for today, little children, from the Word Green version of 2003. Isn't that interesting? We didn't even... that's so appropriate, because we've also got something to talk about today, which is from the Egyptian Dictionary of Wallace Budge, that has to do with the name of the sky goddess, Nut, which is also spelled in Egyptian, N-U-I-T, as the dictionary shows here, which is the French word for night, which is la nuit. N-U-I-T, nuit, the sky goddess, is the definition. And that's the Egyptian name Nut, or night, as we've been talking about and describing her as the Israelitess, Rachel, who married Jacob. And Jacob corresponding, as we said, to Geb, who married night. And night is this person, this called the sky goddess, who's also portrayed as being in the sky, you know, with her body being in the sky and her feet and hands being on the earth. Well, there's so many things that I'm having to re-record this, because I lost the audio signal in the middle of the recording. And I'm glad, because I think I'm going to be able to do a better job now, having been away from this for a month. It's now 4 weeks since our last video. It's March 26th, 2025. And I'm thinking of taking another month off up until April 26th, which would be 29 days. But if you look at the name Nui here, it also means to care for someone or shepherding. And the name Rachel in Hebrew means female sheep, or ewe, E-W-E, which is a female sheep in English. And ewe, E-W-E, also is similar by substituting a V for a W to the word Eve, which means night also, doesn't it? So we've got all these correspondences. The shepherd, right? The shepherdess, and the word Nui also means shepherds or cattlemen. And Rachel was, of course, known as a shepherdess. She was shepherding the sheep, I believe, when she was first encountered by the patriarch Jacob. Was she not? Let's look it up. This is completely spontaneous. I haven't prepared this part of it. Genesis, we're going to look for the first occurrence of the word Rachel, which would be early in Genesis, earlier than 35, 31, it's earlier than 29 there. 29. Where's the first occurrence? 20. Well, let's just go back, yeah. Okay, there we are. Rachel was a shepherdess. Genesis 29 and 9, right there. So we see that. It actually fits perfectly with the idea of the word Nui being, in Egyptian, the word for shepherdess. So we've got a great correspondence here in the Egyptian dictionary from 1920 by Wallace E.A. Budge, Volume 1, proving that the goddess Night is Rachel. And also we have further correspondence, because if you look at this name, this word, Nui, in one of its other meanings, it also has, Let's see here. Where is it? The glance of the eyes. Here it is. The glance of the eyes. Remember, Jacob loved Rachel because of the luster of her eyes. And here we have the word in Egyptian meaning nui, or saying the word nui, and meaning eyes or glances. And so that's another remarkable confirmation that the goddess Night is, in fact, Rachel. And if we look at the verse in the Bible, in Genesis 29:17, the eyes of Leah had no luster, whereas Rachel had become beautiful in form and beautiful of countenance. Genesis 29:17. So that's our confirmation. We've got more confirmation from the original Egyptian. And in our scripture for today, this is the night of their vision and the darkness of their soothsaying. The night was mentioned in our daily scripture today as well. Remarkably, wasn't it? Oh, it never ceases to amaze me how powerful the Creator God, the true God, Jehovah, the true God, the powerful, all-powerful Creator is, how He can cause things to synchronize in remarkable ways. And so we return to our study for today, but before that, well, maybe I'll come back to the other thing after. I have a feeling I won't get to it if I don't do it now, so I'll try and do it now. But I want to open up the program called Sforzando and demonstrate. And I switched speakers during the previous video and then I lost my audio, so I won't do that this time. I'll do this hopefully better video now, having done it once. But if you look at this program, it's completely free, and all these files that I obtained online are free samples. And I didn't get to try out the paid versions, very expensive paid sample libraries, which you can buy, because they're just a gimmick, in my opinion. You need to buy more and more and more of them, and there's always more expensive versions, and it's just an endless thing. You know, there's all sorts of different orchestras, of course, but you can get free versions of certain orchestras. There's the community version by Brazilian Studios, VSCO2, the community edition of which is version 1.1. And in that we have all sorts of different things I didn't get to show in my previous attempt of this, but of this video, but the bassoon. And what's happened? Hang on a second. Do we even have audio here? What have we got for audio here? Check. 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 Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What's happened? I do have audio, don't I? We don't have audio. Oh, it's not playing. I'm hearing myself. I'm seeing that I'm getting a signal here. It's not playing right now. And I don't want to crash my audio on the mic. Okay, so we won't go through that right now. Yeah, okay. Well, wait a minute. What, is there an easy way to do that? I can't switch. I don't think I can't switch my output because I crashed my audio last time. Maybe my audio is not even working. I don't know, but I did do an audio test, so I think it works. So why isn't it working here? I can't explain that. I might need a reboot. And Sforzando could have been what's causing my audio problem, actually. I don't know. Oh, I know. Wait a minute. I tried something that maybe wasn't there. Yeah. Try the Canon. Let's try. Yeah, I tried a sample that maybe wasn't there. No. Huh. Trust me, it works. Anyway, it does work. I've been doing lots of these things. Cello legato. I have no explanation for why it's not working. Oh well, but you've got this amazing program. am I going to, I can't reboot right now in the middle of a video, so we'll just forget about it. But it's astounding what you can get for free. Works flawlessly, by the way. There's no problem with it. Maybe during all my switching of my different audio sources, I've changed what this... Oh, I know. Let's look at my settings. That could be what it is, right? Settings? External headphones? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's set for external headphones. Okay, let's set it for... That's what it is. That's what it is. Let's set it for MacBook Pro speakers. There we go. But it worked last time and I didn't do anything. It didn't change the settings. So that's crazy. Okay. So let's try that, like I was going to show you there, the bassoon vibrato. I mean, the sounds are quite... Some of them, anyway, are quite fantastic. There's a timpani somewhere here. Where is it? Do we have it? Timpani. Timpani rolls. And I don't have a keyboard with me. I don't have a keyboard connected, so I can't. I might get a smaller keyboard that I can use out here so I can do all my recording here in this room, but I don't have that. So I'm just dragging the mouse on the keyboard here. And if you listen, some of these samples are remarkable. Well, there's the cello too. I'm getting distracted. I'm getting off track. I'm digressing severely here. But look at listen to the Xander Jazz Arco violins, for example. I have no idea what it's like. It doesn't sound good as a run, but it sounds good as individual slow play. But that's that one. But if you look at some of the other ones, well, cello legato is probably more like it. Did I get it? I didn't get it. What happened? I thought I clicked on it. Oh yeah, cello legato. No, I don't like that one. That's not one of our select ones. Then I made these select solo instruments, and I put in some cellos in here that I thought were extremely good. Campbell's cello. That's not the lowest. That's the lowest note on a cello. Pretty good cello. And if you look at, let's continue with cello just for, well, look at, wait a minute, Rubner. Rubner, look at Rubner's bass. The lowest note on a bass, I think, is E or something. Something like that. That's a recording of a bass played by Otto Rubner in 1958, actually. And recorded and then made into a sample. It's a really quite a great recording, I think. That wasn't the best one. Let's see what else we have. Rubner. Let's see another one. We have bass pizzicato. Or switched. What's the switched one sound like? You also have pizzicato. So you've got, like, just in this one sample by Rubner, you've also got the pizzicato. And there's volume control. If I click on the upper part of the note, and then the lower part, it's louder on the lower. So you've got volume control, like velocity. If you were playing a keyboard, it would be how fast you hit the key, how hard you hit it. The velocity would determine how loud that was. But in this case, it's just by clicking on different parts of that note. So we have another contrabass by Visco, Community Orchestra, but it's a version by this person, Elf. But now, you know, what we'll want to do also is get an orchestral ensemble. Like, so if we look at the ensembles, what have we got? Let's see. Oh, FLS is an amazing ensemble one. Where are you? String ensembles. FLS, here we are. Mixo strings, I forget what this is like. Yeah, the transition has to be very sharp attack if you're playing fast, or it sounds fake. So what we need to do, like, for example, with Arianna's violin, let's go to that. I'll show you this example. Arianna's violin, she's got violin, and then she's got fast violin, okay? And that's more aggressive. That's too low for a violin. Violin goes down to, I think, G. That's the lowest note on a violin, right? Is it there or is it this G? This G, I think. Not sure. But that doesn't sound to me accurate when you go fast. So what you have to do, let's listen to Arianna's violin again. Well, it's not in the ensembles, it's in the solo section. I had to create all these directories and put all these instruments in there after I downloaded them all for free online. But let's look at the slow, her slow violin, Arianna's version. You see, that sounds like a harp when I go fast. So it's not right. The slow version doesn't work. But let's look at solo again. We'll find one here. I want to show you. There's some really good violins here. The Bisco violin, I think, is pretty good. Xander Jazz violin here, I think, is good. Let's see. It has the correct bottom note. The low note on a violin is a G. It's the G below. It's C3, right? The G below middle C, which is C4. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I would have to say, would you not agree that's amazing? That's just that. Okay, let's play the 1812. I wanted to show you that. Oh, where is that? Where's the 1812? Here it is. It's got amazing full strings here, I think, and French horns. Of course, an instrument that plays up high cannot play down low. So it would have to be changed. The instrument would have to change from a string violin ensemble, from the violin ensemble to the bass ensemble. You couldn't just run all the way down like I just did. But that's an ensemble of basses. Apparently, it sounds like it, and it sounds. Does it not sound remarkable? But also, we got the French horns here. Oh, isn't that impactful? Oh, I just love that. And these are free samples, all of these. I mean, we can't cover them all, there's too many. The real brass deal, section one, what's that? Only difference. Well, one of the big differences. That doesn't sound realistic, partly because it has no reverb, but we've just got a selection that you can choose from here. You don't have to use these. Stereo brass ensemble, HGC. Ooh, that's horrible. Don't know why that's even in there. That doesn't sound like brass. What else we got? Oh, full Sforza. Sforza is different. No, we don't really have many brass ensembles. The best one is 1812 there. We got the woodwinds here. A lot of different woodwinds. But they're just from one particular source that is not it's a special effects, I think, too, is it? Let's see what we have here. Flute. Where are you? There's thought there were trumpets here. No, they're not, because it's not brass. But I thought there were clarinet. Oh, clarinet. Here we go. Clarinet long. Here we go. Mind you, a clarinet can even be synthesized and sound really close. It doesn't have to be sampled to be close to reality. But that's a rather nice clarinet there. What else have we got? Oh, orchestras. We got orchestras, of course. I've got my own orchestra because I edited and selected the instruments I wanted in my orchestra. So in this, I added the choice of violins, the ones I wanted. Here's one. Floristan is one of the violins. The beauty of that is without reverb, you can add reverb later. So you can do anything with it. Whereas if it has reverb already, you're limited. You cannot do anything if it's already got the reverb. You can just do what it's got, plus add more reverb. And you can't get back to no reverb again. So if I go here, what else have we got for violins? I want to show you this. I hope we have time. Here's one, Floristan. So, oh, the Valiant violin I added, right. Did I change it? There's a slow violin here. Oh, Suave Patria violin. I selected that one for this orchestra. Unfortunately, it's just very quiet, so that has to be adjusted when you're actually using it somehow. You know, you record it louder. Turn it up. I can adjust the file. I can modify the files, which I haven't had time to do yet. But also in my orchestra, what have I got? For violin, look at the cello. That's not one that I selected, though. But where are the violin? Look at the violas. Oh, my goodness. There's violas like the Fluid R3 viola. I mean, it's got some remarkable bow sounds in these samples. In many cases, they're amazing, aren't they? I think they are, but I'm still working on all this, downloading better samples, finding ways. They can be sometimes improved. I had to fix some of the mistakes that was in. There was one that had a mistake in it where I had the wrong note. I had to figure out how to fix the wrong note in the sample file. Which is the SFZ, the sound font file. I had to fix it, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I had to do it to get it to work. Now, we've got the Valiant violin. It's much louder. So you hear all the different sounds. It's really incredible. I wanted to show you that. It's endless, all the different things you've got. You've got drums, endless different samples of different instruments. You can play them all in that free program, and they're all free samples. So, continuing our study for today, we've got Leonardo da Vinci's self-portrait from about 1510 to 1515 in red chalk. One of our featured illustrations at the beginning of our study for today. We're resuming our study from February 26th, last, which was 4 weeks ago. Since the fall of the Roman Empire comes nearly by the close of the Sabbath millennium, as we continue reading, compare 1453-1452 with the close of the Sabbath millennium being 1452. And if you do that, 5550 is the creation of Adam. So if we subtract from that 7,000, which is the 7,000 years of time that came after 5550, right? But it's also 7 weeks of 1,000 years each millennium being 1 week. Okay, or I should say one day, rather. one day in the week of 7,000 years. 7,000 years is a week of days, each of which days is 1,000 years. So 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. Each day being 1,000 years, you get 7,000 years. And then we add 1 year more because there's no year zero, so we overshoot. And also, we're assuming the creation of Adam is toward the end of 5550, so we add another year, right? And rather than doing adding, what we should do is start at negative 5550 and then add 7,000. Then add 1 plus 1, and we get 1452. That is why we have 1452 as the close of the Sabbath millennium. But the Eastern Roman Empire fell in 1453, very close to that. So that's why we're studying it from the standpoint of the Sabbath millennium, from 452 to 1452. The beginning of the millennium being 452 CE. And it being the beginning of some period associated with Rome or the empire. And we know that in 452, wasn't it? When the Huns invaded Italy, and Attila the Hun died in 453, actually. So, 452. The thing is, our chronology gives us this framework within which we can understand things. Yes, Attila invaded Italy in 452. The framework that we get from our chronology gives meaning to all these dates. They're known. The date of these things is known. When we had another thing in our chronology that we had, well, we had the investiture controversy when in 1122, the Diet of Worms, that's coming up in our later studies, but that corresponds to something also, but in the time of, it corresponds to the end of the divine right of kings, and the beginning of which divine right began with King Saul in 1100 BCE, when he began to rule. And on the other side, 1100 was about the date of the investiture controversy, which is the end of the divine right of kings. It's a fantastic mirror date. And we have a mirror date in 1452 BCE, being the time when Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, 1452 BCE in our chronology. And the mirror date of that is the birth of Leonardo da Vinci in 1452, as well as just about exactly the end of the Eastern Roman Empire, 1453, very close to that. And it's the end of this 1,000 years, which is the last of the 7,000 years, the week, you know, of years, 7,000 years in all, which began with the creation of Adam. It's a remarkable thing in our chronology that enables us to get some meaning out of the dates and gives us a framework for remembering everything. So Theodoric the Great, who overthrew Italy, was born in 454 CE. But in some, okay, let's say, before we get to that, in some cases, we may have no option but to rewrite history. We're not going to change any of the facts, but as our new understanding allows for a more accurate version, we're going to rewrite history. What could be better than that, we ask? We must preserve the best version of history that God allows. Theodoric the Great, on February 2nd, 493 CE, killed Odoacer, the king of Italy, 1,000 years before the death of the first Habsburg Roman Emperor, Holy Roman Emperor, in 1493 CE. Now, the expression Holy Roman Emperor was actually first used, Where is it? What are we looking at? Here it is, yeah. Or Holy Roman Empire. So the expression Holy Roman Empire was first attested in 1254. of the Common Era. Remarkably so, because when we look at our chronology once again, we get 5550, and we have the period of time that was very, very interesting, remarkable number, 2268, which we've discussed before, that has meaning in our chronology of a year, the number of years, 2268, 2,268 years, which applies here after the creation of Adam. It arrives after that number of years at the deluge in 3282 in our chronology. It's exactly the year of the deluge. When we subtract that again, we get the founding of Solomon's temple in 1014 BCE, right? Also, so it has meaning, this 2268. 2268, when we do it again, we get 1254 of the Common Era on the other side. Or, actually, it's 1255 because there's no year zero, but it's close, very close to this 1254 when the expression Holy Roman Empire is first attested. So that's important, I think. Just helps us put all these facts into order in a way we could never have done ourselves, but just because the true God arranged things that way so that we could determine these things. The number 22 was mentioned in the article Joseph, by the way. Where's the article Joseph? Have I got it here? I've got it here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. So here's the number 22 mentioned in the article Joseph in the tomb at Beni Hassan. It's about halfway through the article Joseph. And we talked about there were 22 generations from Adam, for example. Jacob is the 20th great-grandson of Adam. So 22 generations from Adam to Jacob. Or 22 generations excluding Adam, in other words, which means that Jacob is the 20th great-grandson of Adam. According to that, let's see if that's right, though. If he was a grandson, yeah, 20th great-grandson. I think that's right. But anyway, you have to work it out in great detail and verify everything, which I did when I wrote these articles. Well, what is great-grandson? I'm trying to think. Great-grandson. I mean, grandson is the next two generations after, right? So, first great-grandson is three generations after. Right. So, 20th great-grandson is 22 generations after. Right, makes sense. Yeah, perfect. It is very, very simple. Okay, so that's it for today. I'll see you in a month, and have a great, great time.